Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. At home, she said. At home, glancing back over her right shoulder at the mortal remains of her husband laid to rest in the white folds of the coffin behind her, he is at home. Well, that seemed to say it all, just those few words, the summary of a life lived in the promises of God, capping the fulfillment of those promises at life's end and life's beginning. At home. Those words also serve as a fitting summary of the epistle for this, the fourth week after Pentecost, as St. Paul writes in the second letter to the Corinthians. He is continuing what he started in last week's reading, extolling the work of the ministry. Jars of clay, he wrote, carrying a most precious treasure. The jars are fragile, subject to cracking and decay. It's the treasure, though, that is precious, that lasts. The ministry, then, is about the treasure, always about the treasure. It is never about the jars. And the power for the ministry is not in the messenger, but always in the message. So then, eyes are riveted not upon what is seen, because what's seen is on the conveyor belt of time. What is seen is passing away, and what's even more, so are the clay jars, the here and now of this mortal life. It's in constant movement, passing away right before our very eyes. To be fixed on what's passing away has a dizzying and finally despairing effect. Seductively stable and secure as it all may seem, this mortal life is as little secure and safe as a flimsy tent. This goes for pastors and pastors-to-be as well. A shaking reminder you and I all need from time to time. To be sure, we're reminded of this every time we are called to minister to someone at the time of death. But I'd say this really hit home to us just a matter of a few weeks ago, when one from our own community, one who at age 73 seemed to be closer to a spry and healthy 50, was so very suddenly called home. It's in the epistle for this week that the Apostle Paul is able to accept the fact that one day his earthly tent dwelling will be destroyed. But get this, Paul longs for that day, not as an escape hatch from the harsh realities of life and ministry in a broken and dying world, but rather as a grand and glorious fulfillment of what he calls God's very purpose. It has been given to him, and it has been given to us, to know. To know that our destiny is not with the conveyor belt of time, but rather with God's building of eternity. This is God's purpose, namely, that we be overclothed, Paul's term, overclothed with our dwelling from heaven, that our mortal put on immortality. This knowledge is given to us. It is not of our discovery, nor the culmination of our learning, seminary education notwithstanding. That which is of eternity is given to us from eternity. The very Spirit of God has been given to us as a deposit, thereby guaranteeing what is sure to come. All one Greek word, that action of God. A deposit guaranteeing what is sure to come, erubone. This erubone is made to you and to me because the payment for our heavenly dwelling, that which is sure to come, has already been paid in full by Jesus Christ. Our sins have been covered by Him. We are overclothed with the perfect righteousness of Christ, whose obedience even to death on the cross purchases our place in God's heavenly dwelling. We have that now, though not fully. Ours is only the deposit. The Spirit breathed into us in the words spoken, washed into us in the water of our holy baptism, uniting us with Christ and Him with us, as certain though as His very body broken for us and His blood shed for us, fed into us in the Holy Supper, a foretaste of the feast sure to come. Erubone. This holy deposit creates a continual groaning within the depths of our soul, a longing to be at home with the Lord. Not that He's absent from us here and now, but we long to see the fulfillment of His very purpose for us with our own eyes. To walk by sight rather than by faith. To see clearly what can now only be seen through a glass darkly. Or in the words of the psalmist, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to seek Him in His temple. We long to be there. We long to be at home. Until then, and because of the erubone, we walk by that which the Holy Spirit works in us. We walk by faith. It means, in the words of Paul here, two things. First, that ours is a courageous walk, not timid, not tentative. Indeed, we have not been given a spirit of timidity. Courageously we live and serve, giving out the treasure of the gospel, living in the sure and certain hope of the Christ promise, because I live, you shall live also. Courageous, knowing the power of the seed we are privileged to plant. Ours is a courageous walk. And it is also, says St. Paul, a walk that strives to please Christ. The result of the erubone, the deposit guaranteeing what is sure to come, is a spirit-driven longing within us always to have our very lives give witness to the Christ in me, the hope of glory. Our lives to be, in the words of a Franzmann hymn, a high doxology of praise. Courageously and striving to please Christ, we walk heading home. The temporary tent of this mortal life, soon to be replaced with a building from God, an eternal home in heaven, when, as we confess with Luther, in his explanation to the third article, the Holy Spirit will raise up me and all the dead and give unto me and all believers in Christ eternal life. At home, she said, glancing back over her shoulder at the mortal remains of her dear husband laid to rest behind her. He is at home. Well, as I left the funeral home that day, words from a familiar and loved hymn verse came to my mind. Those of you who know my passion for hiking will no doubt know why I've been drawn to these words of this hymn for a long time. Forever with the Lord, amen, so let it be. Life from the dead is in that word, 'tis immortality. Here in the body pent, absent from him I roam, yet nightly pitch my moving tent, a day's march nearer home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.